I'm Sasha Dermatis, and here are the top stories from the Category5.tv newsroom. In August, Microsoft announced that it was going to change the patching model used by Windows 7 and 8.1, as well as Windows Server 2008, 2008 R2, 2012, 2012 R2, to something close to that of Windows 10. In a break from Microsoft's older operating systems, Windows 10's monthly updates incorporate both security and non-security fixes into a single monolithic update. These updates combine not only each month's new fixes, but also the fixes from previous months. A similar system is being offered to those older operating systems. The patch, which rolled out yesterday, was the first time this new system has been used. So, this new system will now, if I understand it, just monthly update everything, non-security and security, at random during the month when I am at work and it's least convenient for me. That is what I understand from the story.
Don't leave stuff running.
Is that correct?
For example, I mean, I had our render process running, 55-hour render.
Yes.
And Windows decided that's time to reboot.
Right.
Thanks,
yeah.
Windows.
So be careful.
You're real sweet.
Yeah. Mm. Worried about that. Okay.
Yeah.
I am the only one that has problems with Windows. Access to online storage systems, including Dropbox, GitHub, and Microsoft OneDrive, was blocked in Turkey on Saturday. The Turkish government imposed the blocks after a hacktivist group leaked emails that it had said it had stolen from the nation's energy minister. The Red Hat group had threatened to publish the information unless left-wing dissidents were released. In total, more than 57,000 emails were put online by the group. News about the block was broken by the Turkey Blocks Digital Rights Group, which monitors net censorship in the country. It said that Google Drive storage service had also initially been included on the list of sites blocked, but this block had been lifted soon after. The block stayed in place on the other web companies until late on Saturday, as the links to the email cache were removed. So that's a pretty significant move, I think, that Turkey did in as far as security goes. Is that something that's easy to do, Robbie?
I don't know what their firewalling system is like. I know we've encountered that with mainland China blocking our show in the past and having to put servers there in order to get around that. And I think it's sometimes it's about control, sometimes, but in this particular instance, it's about protecting leaked information
right
from getting into the wrong hands or the hands of their community. But
is there a way maybe Turkey could have done it better? I feel like email hacks are,
you know, there's an argument that says censorship in general is just not the whole World Wide Web aspect is it should be free, it should be accessible, it should be available. But then there's that fine line of, well, what happens when it's being used to distribute illegal material? You know, yeah. Do we block that?
Mm-hmm. Then we're blocking most of the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure on that one.
Yeah.
Opinions? Comment below.
Exactly. Okay. South Korean tech giant Samsung has permanently ceased production of its high-end Galaxy Note 7 smartphones after reports of devices it had deemed safe catching fire. The firm had already reduced Galaxy Note 7 production volumes. Owners are expected to be able to return the phones for a refund or an exchange for a different Samsung phone. In September, Samsung recalled around 2.5 million phones after complaints of exploding batteries. It later insisted that all replaced devices were safe. However, that was followed by reports that those phones were catching fire as well. In a statement yesterday, Samsung has said, "We recently readjusted the production volume for a thorough investigation and quality control, but putting customer safety as top priority, we have reached a final decision to halt production of Galaxy Note 7s for the benefit of consumer safety. We have stopped the sales and exchanges of Galaxy Note 7 and have consequently decided to stop production." Well, thank you, Samsung, for finally stopping production.
Yes.
This is going to be the best phone ever. You hear that now, this is news today, is that now they are actually providing fireproof, explosion-proof boxes, postage prepaid, in order for individuals to send these back to them. Can you imagine? With the instructions that you're not allowed to send these by airmail.
Okay, so...
like, makes sense, right? But...
here's the thing that kind of gets me. Is that companies keep getting pushed to just go one step beyond year after year, right? So, like, the Galaxy Note 7, I feel like the Galaxy Note 6 was just released. Like, I just feel like it's so quick that things have to be released with a new component.
You know what? The other aspect to that, the flip side of that, Sasha, is not only are they being pushed to release quickly and innovatively, but also cheaply.
Yeah.
And then we start looking at, okay, well, how are these chips manufactured? How are the cooling systems manufactured? How are the batteries manufactured and the charging mechanisms?
Yeah.
Then we run into problems.
So not every single Note 7 is bursting into flames, but they only test maybe one out of every 1,000, and the one they tested is obviously fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's sad for me.
That's true. That's how QC works, right? They'll take the first 20 off of the run and test those. And if those work, then it's ratio-wise, okay, well, then most of the other ones are probably going to work too. They're the same manufacturer.
Exactly. It's the same with car companies. It's the same with so many companies. It's just that this is the sort of situation. Everybody now has a phone. And even I really, really wanted this. I wanted this phone. But I'm a little bit cheap, so I did not buy it. and I'm happy I didn't. But
yeah. But Sasha, the phone is burning a hole in your pocket.
Exactly.
It takes a whole new meaning.
But the thing is, I mean, because everybody has one, it raises the risk, right? Because, like, say that there's a problem with a certain type of car. Not everybody has that car.
Yeah.
Every single person has a phone now. So stop making them so they explode.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Stop making exploding phone Samsung, and then it won't be a problem. You won't have to recall them if they don't explode, so don't build those ones.
Yeah, Samsung. Geez.
Problem solved.
Yeah, there you go. That's the solution. Sasha, you got it.
Okay. Yay. Okay. Humanity just took one step closer to computers that mimic the brain. University of Southampton researchers have demonstrated that memristors, or resistors that remember their previous resistance, can power a neural network. The team's array of metal oxide memristors served as artificial synapses to learn and relearn from noisy input without intervention, much like you would. And since the memristors will remember previous states when turned off, they should use much less power than conventional circuitry. Ideal for the Internet of Things devices that can't afford to pack big batteries, or they explode. It's still early days for this technology. If you wanted AI that could replicate the brain in its full glory, you'd need hundreds of billions of synapses, if not more. The far simpler memristors array in this test was limited to looking for patterns. However, the Southampton group is quick to note that you wouldn't need to go that far for narrower purposes. You could have sensors that know how to classify objects and identify patterns without human help, which would be particularly helpful in dangerous or hard-to-reach places. You might just see IoT gadgets that are not only connected to the outside world, but can make sense of it. Oh, I feel like Jeff would hate that news story. He's very robot friendly.
I'm just waiting for Data.
Oh.
Lieutenant Commander Data.
What is going on?
From Star Trek. You don't know? Seriously?
No, I do know.
Okay, I do know.
I thought you were bringing up a video. I thought you were just...
I was just joshing you.
I thought you were kidding. I thought you were bringing up a video of him or something.
No.
Like, okay, that's fine.
All right.
Okay. Forget more cell towers. Verizon is banking on airborne radios to offer extra 4G LTE coverage. Over the past 2 years, the company has been working on a new initiative called Airborne LTE Operations, or ALO, which basically means it will be outfitting drones with 4G radios so that they can beam connectivity to those below. This may sound familiar. Facebook has announced a similar initiative for providing internet connectivity to people who would not otherwise have it. Verizon's plans, however, are a little more focused. The company will be using its drones to provide emergency LTE connectivity when cell towers are not an option. So when could this be useful? There are actually plenty of cases when LTE connectivity would be very useful. As TechSpot notes, for example, in 2012, Hurricane Sandy had a huge impact on the communication towers of the East Coast. At the time, it was said the storm had wiped out a hefty 25% of cell towers in as many as 10 states. Initially, Verizon would work with American Aerospace Technologies and will test connectivity using an unmanned aerial vehicle with a wingspan of 17 feet. Of course, Verizon's 4G drone could be used in more than just emergencies. At some point next year, the company hopes to implement the technology for a range of different purposes, including inspecting pipes and power lines, as well as gathering data on farms and farmland. So, if they took this drone and they used the last story's memristors, I feel like that drone could recognize patterns, right? And
is it that intelligent?
I like it.
You know what? There's a couple of things here that are neat, and that's okay. I was thinking as you're telling the story, how are they going to control it? Because the interference off of this thing would be brutal. Mm-hmm, and then yeah. I realize, oh, it's connected to LTE. They could control this thing via the very network that it's broadcasting.
Ooh.
In which case, it has an immeasurable distance of being able to fly, because it's satellite-driven.
That's pretty cool.
That's neat. That's just my thought, right?
And I like where Verizon's going versus where Facebook's going with, like, trying to help people in, like, natural disaster
areas.
That's
a unique twist, eh? That's a good...
Well, I like where Verizon is starting from, and I think that they're smart because they're starting like this. It's going to relieve disaster zones, but then they're going to be the ones that are known. Right? So they're going to be the go-to.
Yes.
Right? So they're starting in a great spot, and they can explore more consumerist avenues in the future.
Can I share my quick observations of this photograph?
Yes.
First of all, it looks like a prop plane to me, which is rather interesting. That's kind of cool. But there are two other things of note in this picture. First of all, they have what looks like an explosion-proof box and a fire extinguisher
phones.
Handy.
That's for
so
phones.
I wonder if, perhaps, Samsung could learn a few things from Verizon about how to develop.
Nice.
Just saying.
I like it. Big thanks this week to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us. If you found a news story you'd like to send, email it to newsroom@category5.tv. For all your tech news with a slight Linux bias, visit the category5.tv newsroom at newsroom.category5.tv. For the category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.